This is the Negeri Sembilan SPM mock listening test. There are four parts to the test. You will hear each part twice. For each part of the test, there will be time for you to look through the questions and time for you to check your answers. Write your answers onto the question paper. You will have 6 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the answer sheet. The recording will now be stopped. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear people talking in 7 different situations. For questions 1 to 7, you should choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear each recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look through part 1. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully. Question 1. You will hear a conversation.
What's your plan for the holidays, Amni?
I'm thinking of getting a part-time job.
Really? What for?
I'm planning of saving up some money to buy a gift for Grandpa's birthday.
Aw, that's awfully sweet of you. But I do advise you to stay away from any babysitting jobs. You're awful with kids.
Ha ha, very funny.
Now listen again.
What's your plan for the holidays, Amni?
I'm thinking of getting a part-time job.
Really? What for?
I'm planning of saving up some money to buy a gift for Grandpa's birthday.
Aw, that's awfully sweet of you. But I do advise you to stay away from any babysitting jobs. You're awful with kids.
Ha ha, very funny.
Question 2. You'll hear information about a drink.
Bubble tea has gained enormous popularity across the world due to its sweetness, ingredients, and interesting range of flavors. Unfortunately, this drink provides very few health benefits as it contains high levels of sugar. Lowering the amount of sugar in the drink can somewhat be good, but not totally harm-free. Thus, it is always good to remember to consume bubble tea in moderation, even if it is a healthier version of the drink.
Now listen again.
Bubble tea has gained enormous popularity across the world due to its sweetness, ingredients, and interesting range of flavors. Unfortunately, this drink provides very few health benefits as it contains high levels of sugar. Lowering the amount of sugar in the drink can somewhat be good, but not totally harm-free. Thus, it is always good to remember to consume bubble tea in moderation, even if it is a healthier version of the drink.
Question 3. You will hear a conversation.
Hi, Janet. It's been a while. Shall we meet up for tea one of these days?
Surely, I would love to. Let's try out the new cafe that just opened up in town.
I don't think so. I heard the food there is not that good and the service is worse.
Well, in that case, let's meet up at Sambal Cafe this Friday. Shall I pick you up?
Friday sounds good. I'll book right there.
Now listen again.
Hi, Janet. It's been a while. Shall we meet up for tea one of these days?
Surely, I would love to. Let's try out the new cafe that just opened up in town.
I don't think so. I heard the food there is not that good and the service is worse.
Well, in that case, let's meet up at Sambal Cafe this Friday. Shall I pick you up?
Friday sounds good. I'll book right there.
Question 4. You will hear about an expo.
Selected visitors experienced an exciting blind tasting session at the World Travel Catering Expo in Hamburg. The exclusive burger tasting offered participants a total of 200 burgers prepared to create a wow effect. This was because a variety of burgers had a special culinary touch. The tasters did not know what exactly they were eating. What was on offer? Cuttlefish burger? Premium fish? A vegetable option? And an insect burger?
Now listen again.
Selected visitors experienced an exciting blind tasting session at the World Travel Catering Expo in Hamburg. The exclusive burger tasting offered participants a total of 200 burgers prepared to create a wow effect. This was because a variety of burgers had a special culinary touch. The tasters did not know what exactly they were eating. What was on offer? Cuttlefish burger? Premium fish? A vegetable option, and an insect burger.
Question 5. You will hear a conversation.
Hi David, I haven't seen you for some time. Did you go anywhere for the holidays?
Yes, my uncle came to stay with us and we took him to Penang.
That is nice. We wanted to go to Langkawi at first, but later decided to drive up to a hill station. We enjoyed the cool crisp air.
I'm sure you had an enjoyable time there with your family.
We surely did.
Now listen again.
Hi David, I haven't seen you for some time. Did you go anywhere for the holidays?
Yes, my uncle came to stay with us and we took him to Penang.
That is nice. We wanted to go to Langkawi at first, but later decided to drive up to a hill station. We enjoyed the cool crisp air.
I'm sure you had an enjoyable time there with your family.
We surely did.
Question 6. You will hear a news report.
In Canada, wildfires continue to spread and over 140 communities are currently under air quality alerts. The worsening fires made hazy skies and deep orange sunsets this week. Satellite images from NASA, NASA, showed a large cloud of smoke, which is standard across the ocean. The smoke caused bad air quality. However, it is higher in the atmosphere, which means that it shouldn't be dangerous to people.
Now listen again.
In Canada, wildfires continue to spread, and over 140 communities are currently under air quality alerts. The worsening fires made hazy skies and deep orange sunsets this week. Satellite images from NASA, NASA, showed a large cloud of smoke, which is standard across the ocean. The smoke caused bad air quality. However, it is higher in the atmosphere, which means that it shouldn't be dangerous to people.
Question 7. You will hear about moods.
Expressing gratitude can improve your mood. People who write down positive things about their day are healthier, more energetic, less stressed, and anxious. The key is to make this a regular habit and do it with intention. Think about creating a small gratitude ritual by jotting down 3 good things about your day. Science shows that it's the small everyday experiences that make us happier as compared to the big life events.
Now listen again.
Expressing gratitude can improve your mood. People who write down positive things about their day are healthier, more energetic, less stressed, and anxious. The key is to make this a regular habit and do it with intention. Think about creating a small gratitude ritual by jotting down 3 good things about your day. Science shows that it's the small everyday experiences that make us happier as compared to the big life events.
That is the end of part 1. Now turn to part 2. You will hear a talk on ocean pollution. For questions 8 to 15, circle the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 1 minute to look at part 2.
You have probably heard of the giant trash island in the ocean, or that poor sea turtle and the straw. Maybe you have even heard of plastic being found in the fish we eat. The plastic crisis gets lots of attention, but the headlines usually focus on the plastic that ends up in the environment, and that is just part of the story. The truth is, plastic has a whole life cycle that's hidden from the view, one that harms people and the planet from start to finish. Let's start at the beginning. Plastic is made from fossil fuels, like oil or natural gas. Extracting those fossil fuels and turning them into plastics creates a lot of pollution, pollution that often affects communities nearby. As we've gotten better about using less oil and gas to power our lives, the oil and gas companies found a lifeline in plastics. Thus, they are doubling down on plastic production with plans to build or expand petrochemical plants. But these companies already produce more plastic that we can use. So where is all that plastic going? A lot of it is flowing into new markets in places like Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Because more than any other product category, plastic isn't driven by the demand for it, but by the supply. Corporations like Unilever, Procter & Gamble, as well as Nestle, are aggressively marketing single-use plastic products around the world. These companies go to places like Indonesia and Cambodia and push their products onto communities that aren't prepared to deal with all that plastic. Maybe they are used to using natural packaging. Some live on a tiny island without a system of waste collection. On top of that, countries in the global north are shipping their own plastic waste into these countries too. When you add all that up, it's no wonder so much of this plastic ends up in the environment. And globally, that is where a whopping 32% of plastic packaging ends up. 40% goes to a landfill where plastic just piles up for future generations to deal with, and 17% is incinerated. Incineration is a nasty business producing toxic smoke and fly ash. Although there's recycling, it is not the solution that many people think it is. Just 12% of plastic packaging gets recycled. The rest is downcycled into something worse. And most recycled plastic is only recycled once, which is saddening.
Now listen again.
You have probably heard of the giant trash island in the ocean, or that poor sea turtle and the straw. Maybe you have even heard of plastic being found in the fish we eat. The plastic crisis gets lots of attention, but the headlines usually focus on the plastic that ends up in the environment. And that is just part of the story. The truth is, plastic has a whole life cycle that's hidden from the view. One that harms people and the planet from start to finish. Let's start at the beginning. Plastic is made from fossil fuels, like oil or natural gas. Extracting those fossil fuels and turning them into plastics creates a lot of pollution. Pollution that often affects communities nearby. As we've gotten better about using less oil and gas to power our lives, the oil and gas companies found a lifeline in plastics. Thus, they are doubling down on plastic production with plans to build or expand petrochemical plants. But these companies already produce more plastic that we can use. So where is all that plastic going? A lot of it is flowing into new markets in places like Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Because more than any other product category, plastic isn't driven by the demand for it, but by the supply. Corporations like Unilever, Procter & Gamble, as well as Nestle, are aggressively marketing single-use plastic products around the world. These companies go to places like Indonesia and Cambodia and push their products onto communities that aren't prepared to deal with all that plastic. Maybe they are used to using natural packaging. Some live on a tiny island without a system of waste collection. On top of that, countries in the global north are shipping their own plastic waste into these countries too. When you add all that up, it's no wonder so much of this plastic ends up in the environment. And globally, that is where a whopping 32% of plastic packaging ends up. 40% goes to a landfill where plastic just piles up for future generations to deal with, and 17% is incinerated. Incineration is a nasty business producing toxic smoke and fly ash. Although there's recycling, it is not the solution that many people think it is. Just 12% of plastic packaging gets recycled. The rest is downcycled into something worse. And most recycled plastic is only recycled once, which is saddening.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3. You will hear 5 short extracts in which students talk about their pastimes. For questions 16 to 20, choose from the list A to G what each speaker says. Use the letters only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3. Speaker 1.
Rock climbing can be super fun. I always used to climb the grills at home as a toddler. But now that I'm taller, I try to go to my local Rakan Muda Center to scale the walls every weekend I can. It is safe as there is a crew to help you with your safety harness.
Speaker 2.
I got my first bicycle when I was 3 years old. It took me a while to learn how to cycle, then another year or so when I could cycle without training wheels. It has now become a family affair to go cycling at night around a housing estate.
Speaker 3.
I always wanted to try water diving, but I live far from the sea. I learned how to swim from the nearby sports center, hoping I get a chance to go diving when I went on holiday in Bangkok. It was not for me after all, but I have found a new passion, water polo.
Speaker 4.
Lots of my friends envy me because my parents love extreme sports like bungee jumping and skydiving. I am so ashamed to tell them that I have never tried either one as I am afraid of heights. I do love skateboarding though.
Speaker 5.
I live in Terengganu and we are known for our beautiful wows. I am no good at flying wows or kites, but I love kite surfing. It is a mix between jet skiing and kite flying, but way more dangerous as we can't control the direction of the kite. Needless to say, my parents are unimpressed.
Now listen again. Speaker 1.
Rock climbing can be super fun. I always used to climb the grills at home as a toddler, but now that I'm taller, I try to go to my local Rakan Muda Center to scale the walls every weekend I can. It is safe as there is a crew to help you with your safety harness.
Speaker 2.
I got my first bicycle when I was 3 years old. It took me a while to learn how to cycle, then another year or so when I could cycle without training wheels. It has now become a family affair to go cycling at night around a housing estate.
Speaker 3.
I always wanted to try water diving, but I live far from the sea. I learned how to swim from the nearby sports center, hoping I get a chance to go diving when I went on holiday in Bangkok. It was not for me after all, but I have found a new passion, water polo.
Speaker 4.
Lots of my friends envy me because my parents love extreme sports like bungee jumping and skydiving. I am so ashamed to tell them that I have never tried either one as I am afraid of heights. I do love skateboarding though.
Speaker 5.
I live in Terengganu and we are known for our beautiful wows. I am no good at flying wows or kites, but I love kite surfing. It is a mix between jet skiing and kite flying, but way more dangerous as we can't control the direction of the kite. Needless to say, my parents are unimpressed.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4. You will hear Yusra talking about her experience of joining the Olympics. For questions 21 to 30, fill in the missing information in each numbered space. Use no more than one word for each space. You will hear the interview twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 1 minute to look at part 4.
It's a really special day for us today. We have with us a special guest, an Olympic swimmer. Not just any Olympic swimmer, but one who had to prove herself time and time again against so many odds. Would you do us the honor of telling us about yourself?
Hello everyone, my name is Yusra. I used to be just like any other regular teenager. I had a lot of friends, I went to school every day and I loved to go to the pool in my hometown in Syria. My coach said if I worked hard enough, I could possibly make it into the Olympics one day. But there's this famous saying about how life has many twists and turns. In my case, and many other people from my country, there were so many twists that turned into matted knots.
What do you mean? If it is not too painful, could you share it with us?
Well, I'm sure you've heard of my country. It really is a beautiful place with beautiful people, but then the war came and everything changed. I couldn't swim or meet with my friends as often as I wanted. My life was in danger, as were the lives of many others. I had to escape Syria.
Oh dear. Did you leave the moment the unrest happened?
Not at first. We had to forego many of the things we enjoyed, swimming being one of them. But then regular civilians were being attacked too. My parents finally agreed that my big sister Sarah and I could travel to Turkey. It was hard to leave my family behind, but I had no choice. If we made it to Europe, my parents and little sister would follow. It was a risk we had to take. We needed peace after all.
I remember an interview with your sister as you were competing in the Olympics. She said she was sure you'd be a name to reckon with in endurance sports. Why did she say that?
She should include herself then. In Turkey, we boarded a boat to Greece. Then disaster happened. The motor ran out of fuel on our way there. My sister and I jumped into the water trying to pull the boat to shore. For more than 3.5 hours, we gave everything we had. We couldn't give up. Most of the people in the boat couldn't swim. They needed us. We made it to Europe alive.
Oh, wow. Did your lives improve after reaching Greece?
Not immediately and not the way we imagined. Everything changed. Suddenly, I was a refugee. I had to rely on the kindness of others. Borders were closing across Europe. We didn't know where to go or what to do. We finally arrived in our new home, Germany. I was safe. I wanted everything to be normal again. I wanted to swim. So I started practicing again. My coach helped me achieve my dream to swim at the Olympics.
And the rest is history. How do you feel as an Olympic athlete?
I may not have won a gold medal, but I won something far more important, my dignity.
We are so happy that you have been chosen to be a goodwill ambassador representing young refugees. Any parting words?
My name is Yusra. I'm a refugee who found the strength to rebuild my life with support from my new community. I'm proud to stand for respect, safety, and dignity for all people fleeing violence. Together, we can help others. Together, we can rebuild each other's dreams.
Now listen again.
It's a really special day for us today. We have with us a special guest, an Olympic swimmer. Not just any Olympic swimmer, but one who had to prove herself time and time again against so many odds. Would you do us the honor of telling us about yourself?
Hello everyone, my name is Yusra. I used to be just like any other regular teenager. I had a lot of friends, I went to school every day, and I loved to go to the pool in my hometown in Syria. My coach said if I worked hard enough, I could possibly make it into the Olympics one day. But there's this famous saying about how life has many twists and turns. In my case, and many other people from my country, there were so many twists that turned into matted knots.
What do you mean? If it is not too painful, could you share it with us?
Well, I'm sure you've heard of my country. It really is a beautiful place with beautiful people, but then the war came and everything changed. I couldn't swim or meet with my friends as often as I wanted. My life was in danger, as were the lives of many others. I had to escape Syria.
Oh dear. Did you leave the moment the unrest happened?
Not at first. We had to forego many of the things we enjoyed, swimming being one of them.
But then regular civilians were being attacked too. My parents finally agreed that my big sister Sarah and I could travel to Turkey. It was hard to leave my family behind, but I had no choice. If we made it to Europe, my parents and little sister would follow. It was a risk we had to take. We needed peace after all.
I remember an interview with your sister as you were competing in the Olympics. She said she was sure you'd be a name to reckon with in endurance sports. Why did she say that?
She should include herself then. In Turkey, we boarded a boat to Greece. Then disaster happened. The motor ran out of fuel on our way there. My sister and I jumped into the water trying to pull the boat to shore. For more than 3.5 hours, we gave everything we had. We couldn't give up. Most of the people in the boat couldn't swim. They needed us. We made it to Europe alive.
Oh, wow. Did your lives improve after reaching Greece?
Not immediately and not the way we imagined. Everything changed. Suddenly, I was a refugee. I had to rely on the kindness of others. Borders were closing across Europe. We didn't know where to go or what to do. We finally arrived in our new home, Germany. I was safe. I wanted everything to be normal again. I wanted to swim. So I started practicing again. My coach helped me achieve my dream to swim at the Olympics.
And the rest is history. How do you feel as an Olympic athlete?
I may not have won a gold medal, but I won something far more important, my dignity.
We are so happy that you have been chosen to be a goodwill ambassador representing young refugees. Any parting words?
My name is Yusra. I'm a refugee who found the strength to rebuild my life with support from my new community. I'm proud to stand for respect, safety, and dignity for all people fleeing violence. Together, we can help others. Together, we can rebuild each other's dreams.
That is the end of part 4. You now have 6 minutes to check and copy your answers onto the answer sheet. You have 1 more minute. That is the end of the test. Please stop now.